Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix, RunCatalina.com, the 40th anniversary of the Catalina Island Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 11th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes, and definitely subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. Our next guest, the three-time Most Outstanding Coach of the Year, and a gentleman whose team has won in 2016, they've won three straight Big East championships at Villanova. Mr. Rick Simpson, the head coach. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great, Bob. And thank you very much for having me. Great honor to chat with you today.
Well, a pleasure, especially. Guys are out here training from Villanova, leaving Philly during the middle of the winter. I'm guessing your kids are sort of enjoying their time in San Diego?
It's been a great week. Terrific week. Weather has been off and on. I think it's tomorrow going to be a little bit warmer in Philadelphia, which is where we are from, than it is right now. But nevertheless, it's been a great trip. Some terrific training. I think we, without a doubt, are leaving here tomorrow morning is a much better program than we were when we arrived last Friday.
So you swam growing up. I swam at Rutgers. And when did you realize that you wanted to move into the coaching side?
Well, that's a really interesting question. Like a lot of coaches, it wasn't a planned effort. It was something that I sort of fell into. My degree, academic degree, was actually in planning and real estate development. Happened to graduate during the recession of the early 90s, where architect and planning firms were not hiring anybody, and happened to swim for a legendary coach by the name of Frank Elm, who's an Olympic coach, several-time Olympic coach, and upon graduation asked me if I wanted to stick around and do a little coaching. At that point, professionally there wasn't a whole lot going on, so I said, sure, why not? I would love to do it. And about 26 years later, here I am still doing it.
And you've been at Villanova for 17 years now. How has your profession changed with all the technology? And, there's so much out there technology-wise, but at the end of the day, a lot of times, training is training, right? It doesn't change that much, or does it?
I think it's very cyclical. It's really interesting how, and I'm sure it's like this in running, triathlon, endurance sport. What is hot today?
Yep.
Nobody might be into it 5 years from now, and 15 years from now, everybody's back into it. It really is interesting how things have become cyclical. I think I'm getting to the age now where I'm now at the returning end of that, where we're seeing a number of approaches from a training perspective. And it's been tweaked and it's been advanced, but you'll talk to older coaches and say, "Yeah, we did a lot of that kind of stuff back in the '70s. We did that back in the '60s." And it returns, I say, a little bit more of a cleaned up, better fashion. But I do find it to be somewhat cyclical.
You're a guy who's also your wife and yourself have both done multiple Ironman events. You've done Ironman Lake Placid. You did Ironman Wisconsin. What got you in? Obviously, the swim background was a big influence, but what was it about triathlon that enticed you guys to get involved there?
Well, I'll start with myself, because I was into it much earlier than my wife. I was a young assistant coach at the United States Military Academy up at West Point, and it was, we're talking early 90s,
yeah,
and it was really hot up there, as a sport. It was really popular amongst the cadets, amongst the staff. So I wound up sort of becoming a little bit immersed in it. I was looking for something post-college to do to stay in shape, and I fell in love with it. I have to say I was never very competitive. I was a middle-of-the-pack guy from sprint all the way through Ironman. Middle of the pack at best, middle of the pack in the sprint, and I'd say call myself Ironman finisher in Ironman distance. Certainly nothing very competitive, but I fell in love with the sport. And even more importantly, I fell in love with the people involved with the sport. I mean, just I think that had a lot to do with it. I really liked the character of the people that I was hanging around with that were involved in the sport, incredibly inspirational people. But you spend a day with those folks just chatting and training and going out on a long ride, you come back, and you feel like you're a little bit of a better person just being around those type of folks. And you know, back then, as a 25-year-old, I could have found quite a different crowd that would have gone in a different direction if I wanted to, but I was fortunate enough to. That was sort of my social scene back then.
So talk a little bit about Summer Cook, who has become one of America's premier female triathletes. She came to Villanova as a swimmer, correct?
Correct. That is correct. We recruited her out of Colorado as a distance swimmer.
Yeah.
You know, her first couple of years there, the whole running triathlon thing was not even part of part of any sort of a plan, and it really just everything snowballed. There was an ignition point that kind of set the whole thing off, and it snowballed from there. And it really is a pretty incredible story.
What I love about it is she basically came to you and said, "Hey, I'm going to run the Broad Street 10 miler, which is a big event in Philadelphia."
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
She probably surprised herself how well she did. And then the next step was, I think you approached the coach for your for the cross country and track team. But they're national champions, right? They're an NCAA champions. The last thing they're looking for is a walk on from swimming.
Correct, and they were. They were just literally were just coming off an NCAA championship year. Just great group of athletes, and I approached the coach at it was a social function about 2 weeks after that Broad Street run, and I said, "Does this seem right? I mean, this woman just won her age group in a very competitive age group."
Yeah,
and the coach said, "I don't know if that's right. I mean, that's fast. That's fast." She said, "That would be fast for one of our girls, and we just won a national championship." So that's kind of how the introductory, that's how it began, was from that very first meeting.
Well, and in reversing the roles, if someone came to you after, again, you've won the three Big East titles in a row, "Hey, I've got a runner, and she thinks she could be a great swimmer." You'd be like, "Well, I've sort of got some really good swimmers already." That's for I think Gina's a coach. At that point, was she open to it?
Well, first of all, Bob, to confirm your point, you're absolutely correct. I don't know if that's ever happened in the sport of swimming. I mean, you take a national championship swimming program, whether it be Cal or Texas, and all of a sudden somebody shows up on their doorstep, on their campus, looking to walk on and actually be a contributor. I don't think that has ever happened in modern times, using your reversal.
Yeah.
But in this particular situation, it actually did happen, which is kind of neat.
So anyways, then she eventually ends up running for the team and does quite well, right? She ends up making NCAAs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the coach was not overly excited about entertaining this discussion. She actually handed me a piece of paper with tryout times, and I decided, told Summer, "Hey, look, here's what I'll do. I will run you in a time trial. We're going to do this about as formal as we possibly can be, so there's no cutting corners." I forget what distance. It may have been a 2 mile. I don't know what the distance was so long ago, but whatever it was, she broke it by about 30 seconds. And I went back to the coach and I said, "Here's the time." And she said, "Wow, did she really guess it?" I was there. I ran the time trial. I can tell you right now, that's what she did. And from there, she said, "I'll tell you what, I'll let her train with our kids this spring and see how it goes." And sure enough, she trained with them. She fit, wound up, just blending right in. And along the way, there's a couple more points of story. Let's try running her the Big East Outdoor Track Championships. That was step one. Gina was still very apprehensive about bringing her into the cross-country system. And I get that. I mean, again, that's the flagship program. That's the bread and butter. That's the two-time NCAA champions. But eventually, she decided to run her in a race. And it's a local race. I went to the race. It was awesome. I forget where in the Villanova ranking she fell, but it was fast enough that she was now going to be used in a number of other races. And to make the long story short, it eventually puts her on the NCAA championship team. They go out to NC2As, and she actually scored. She actually scored for Villanova.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, you know, I remember the entire swimming program at Villanova watched it online, and we just couldn't believe, like, she actually just scored at NC2As with a two-time national champion cross-country program. It was pretty amazing.
Well, and she qualified for regionals on the track at 5,000 meters. So obviously she had I think she even said, I was a better runner than I was a swimmer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. At that point, without a doubt, she was having much more success with the running than she was the swimming. And the swimming, really, at that point, it became a sit-down with myself, Junior Percaccio, our track coach, in summer, and working out an arrangement. And I went into that meeting knowing darn well that she really needed to focus more on running. I mean, that was, and I didn't have a problem with that. We became the supplemental. That's really what we became. We became the support for her running career. She came in as a swimmer, but we eventually shifted gears and said, hey, look, we'll take a step back. We'll be your support mechanism for a great running career. And I think it was a great combination. I think it kept her out of trouble in terms of injury. It really supplemented her aerobic base. And looking back years later, it was a win-win for everybody.
Well, and then the other side of it is, at this point, triathlon is still not part of the equation. She's just running. And you have a friendship with Barb Lindquist, who was number one in the world, the 2004 Olympian from the U.S., had been a swimmer before she became a triathlete. And she is in charge of our collegiate recruiting program for the sport of triathlon, where we've had success with Gwen Jorgensen and with Katie Zafaris, identifying women with great swim and run backgrounds and teaching them to ride the bike.
Now, correct.
But I think you were the one who planted the seed with Barb to say, hey, yeah, I've got somebody.
I ran into Barb at NCAA swimming championships.
Yeah.
And this was the early phase when summer was just starting to dabble in both sports.
Yep.
Showing a little bit of success. She hadn't done the NCAA cross country yet. She was just sort of starting to break. You know, and I approached Barb and I said, I want to run an idea by you. I want to run a name by you and tell you the situation. She said, well, look, you know, what we usually look for in this program is somebody that's at the NCAA caliber swimmer or an NCAA caliber runner. I said, well, she's not at that level in either sport, but maybe we could talk about, because she's actually good at, you know, you're usually picking one at, you're usually great at one. You know, I've got somebody who's pretty darn good at both.
Right.
And so that's sort of, you know, Barb was interested. She said, you know, that you've got a good point. And then, of course, I saw Barb a year later. I said, you know, I'm sure you've heard by now, She Summer now is an NCAA athlete, not in our sport, but in the sport of running, of course, that
right.
point. She knew all about her, and they had already been in contact. And that whole program was moving forward. But, you know, that was kind of a big ignition point for her in terms of her career. And a lot of it started with, I just tried to sell it to Summer a lot. I said, you know, you'd be great at this. You'd be great at this. I love this sport. This is right in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
You're going to love this, and you're going to have a lot of success at it. And she said, hey, sounds great to me.
I actually
remember I brought my wife. You know, my wife, unfortunately, had to step back from Ironman when we had kids. So
yeah.
I said, hey, do you mind if I borrow your bike? I brought the bike and set it up on a trainer, and the shoes were too big for her. But she, you know, off she went, and you know, once she got linked up with Barb, that was it. It was off to the races.
What I love is she was planning to go to grad school and run cross country.
Yep.
And then it was the summer of 13 where she's like, you know what? I'm at the Olympic Training Center and I'm going to pursue my dreams. It's a crazy dream, but I'm gonna go for it. What I love is, at that point, she hadn't even done a triathlon yet, right? She hadn't even done her first race until she did an Iron Girl event in Aurora, Colorado, after she'd been at the Olympic Training Center for a while. So she really had very little experience in cycling, and especially in all that transition stuff.
You know, I can't help but laugh when I look back and you know, trying to show Summer how to click in. you get on the bike and click in, and she's doing it on a trainer, so she's not even on the real road yet. And the awkwardness, and you know, she's going, this is crazy, you know, and it, you can't help but laugh, you know, when you see where she is now, and those first few days when she's looking at the bottom of the cycling shoe and thinking, well, what is this thing? Well, wait, so this goes on the pedal? How does that work? And now look at her. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's, well, what's great about it is this year, I think she's ranked like 19th in the world, and she won two, just in the fall, she won two races and finished second in two races. And that circuit, yep, is the best people in the world. So, I mean, when you talk about 2020, she certainly has a very good shot of making the Olympic team for the U.S. and being one of the very best in the world.
Yep. And that I know is a goal of hers. And we sit and we wait and we keep our fingers crossed. But I totally agree with you. She does have a great shot, and we're hoping for the best.
Well, and the reality is, if you didn't have a background in the sport of triathlon, and the same scenario had come up, it's like, yeah, sure, you can go run track and cross country, but she wouldn't have even known about the sport of triathlon and that this is even a possibility and that someone could make an Olympic team. So, I mean, that's the fact that you knew the sport and you knew that she certainly had the ability to do it. That's pretty rewarding that you found the right place for this athlete to be.
Well, you know, the rewarding piece is that, you know, I think it's just awesome to sit back and watch an athlete, especially when they graduate from college, get to continue. And it's, you know, we do that with a lot of our athletes here in a lot of different ways. You know, we try to promote open water swimming, for example, with our distance kids. And, hey, you guys can get on the World Cup circuit and travel the world. I mean, just because graduation is a few months away doesn't mean that we have to shut this thing down and your athletic career has to come to a screeching halt. There's other ways of doing it. And to be honest with you, Bob, most don't bite the hook. They just don't. They've got professional goals. They, as you say, they got graduate school and other professional goals, and they're ready to move on. But when you see somebody who you know has a particular talent and they're not, certainly not physically in a position to shut it down and move on, and they actually pursue something, have a lot of success, and get to travel the world and continue that athletic career, it's very rewarding. It's great. It's awesome. We love it.
So your kids, if they swim so much, and when they finish college, a lot of them are pretty fried. And if you look at the history of triathlon back with, you know, Dave Scott and Mark Allen and Bill Leach and all these guys were so good, most of them came from the world of swimming because they've tuned their engine. They know how to hurt. They know how to suffer. And then learning the other sports, cycling and running, is so much easier. It's very difficult to learn swimming later in the game, but you can learn the other stuff. Have you seen a lot of your kids or a number of your kids who've moved on to just move into doing triathlon sort of for fun?
Not as many as I'd like.
Yeah.
You know, and again, as being a huge fan of the sport, it's something that I really try to promote. There've been a couple. You know, there's some that have dabbled into it. We've got a guy by the name of Mike Finney, who's was at Kona this year and did a phenomenal job, and certainly in the East Coast area has made a name for himself. A couple of other athletes on the local scene have done very well.
Cool.
But as I say, I would say Mike Finney and Summer Cook are the two who, you know, have taken it to a different level in terms of professional, making a living out of it. Mike, I didn't have anything to do with his breakthrough into, you know, he wasn't a two-sport athlete. That's something he did all on his own. It's really awesome to see what he's doing. But not as many as we'd like. I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. It's a great sport. And anybody who I try to sell, I always tell you the same thing. I have never once convinced somebody to get in the sport who have turned around and said, you know what, that I get it and I don't like it.
Yeah, no.
They all fall in love with it.
It's the best.
That's what I try to tell our team. I'm telling you right now, it's 100% of every single person that I've ever tried to convince to go ahead and do it. They all come back and they're hooked.
I just can't
get enough to try it. That's my problem.
Well, you've got kids, man. So you've got some triathlons coming up in your future, correct?
I hope so. Well, I certainly hope so. My 7-year-old daughter did her first kids triathlon.
Sweet.
This summer, and it was awesome. My wife and I, we were just like, oh, this is really cool. So, and she loved it. So who knows? Maybe my kids will get into it as well.
I love it. Hey, Rick. First of all, congrats on everything you've accomplished as a swim coach. And I think when you are in Tokyo watching summer total line at the 2020 Olympics, you're going to be going, you know what? This is a pretty cool experience.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, Bob. You know, hey, it was great meeting you the other day out the pool, and certainly appreciate the thrill of joining you today. And hopefully the sun's going to come out for you guys out here.
We're leaving tomorrow,
so believe me, you'll have great weather from here on in.
Exactly. Rick Simpson has been our guest again. This is Babbittville Radio. We're brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, VeloFix, RunCatalina.com, Catalina Island Marathon, the 40th anniversary coming up on Saturday, March 11th. Our Challenged Athlete Foundation, we have raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. Definitely subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. And as always, endurance lives here.